Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
8:34 Central African Time, and that time of the morning where you join and I join and everyone joins Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, a member of parliament, the leader of the NFP. He's a firebrand, and when he talks, everyone sits up and listens. Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, how are you doing this beautiful Sunday morning in Ramadan, the last Sunday, Ahmad?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I'm in a little town called Freyd in northern KwaZulu-Natal. Just come to attend a function or a rally today. So I'm speaking at the event, so I had to drive late yesterday. I must admit that the roads have deteriorated to such an extent, you know, that it's very risky for people, particularly to be driving once after sunset, because you're not able to see the road, you're not able to see the potholes and things like that. So yes, a lot of work needs to be done. We've had 6,527 new infections reported in the last 24 hours, 4,954 the day before, which is a 21.5% positivity rate. Now, the wastewater treatment, you know, we've been told that it is in such a state of collapse. And one of the reasons is that even those employed, they do not have the necessary capacity, but it leaves a lot of work needs to be done. So it's again, you know, we've got a crisis with the water, sanitation, your roads, your schools, your buildings generally all over. So really we have a massive problem while we want to invest in infrastructure in the country to enhance economic growth in the country. And yes, infrastructure development can go a long way in promoting infrastructure, economic growth in the country. But, you know, if you don't have the expertise and the skills and the capacity to be able to roll out this infrastructure and also simultaneously maintain what you got, then, of course, you know, it's a crisis, you know, which is going to continue. The taxi industry, once again, is at war with the long-distance bus drivers. I'm told there's been about 150 attacks on long-distance bus drivers in the last 13 months alone, including the day before yesterday. I think one of them was shot dead right outside the premises. Of course, Ronald Manzondo has released part four, and of course it concentrates a lot on Eskom, on the ANC. He actually goes on to say that the ANC government must take responsibility for what happened, but it's fallen short of raising the issue of the war room that was created, which was manned by the president, and the deployment and things. So, you know, he's asked for an extension, which he has got, to finalize it. But I think, one thing, yeah, I think we all know by now, that we, Eskom particularly, and if you take back what happened in the portfolio committee in Scopa about a week or 2 weeks ago, it was unfounded, you know, because here it is clearly indicating that it is the capture of Eskom that is one of the root causes why we are where we are in terms of that. Now, once again, a top cop in the Western Cape, imagine escorting drugs. He's actually escorting a drug dealer from the table by harbor. Take, you know, and more importantly, he even goes on to sell them 25 rounds of ammunition for 2,000 rand, brother. So if these police officers that are supposed to be entrusted with the security of the country allow themselves to be fall into this trap with these acts of criminality or into these criminal syndicates, then what does it tell the people on the ground that they just don't have the protection and security that these people are entrusted with? And of course, lastly, the arsonist in Johannesburg, there's something very serious going on there, Brother Shepherd, which seems to be underpinned, and that is the number of arson attacks on homes in that area of Houghton and things like that, where apparently this arsonist goes in there, has a field, they cooks his food, eats, they burns the place, and goes from home to home. And once again, he's attacked again. And with all the measures in place to try and track him, they're still not able to do that.
Yeah, it's a shocking thing indeed. And sometimes people are questioning who are doing these things. As you said, to spoke about law enforcement escorting, taking the drugs out and selling ammunition, then Allahu Akbar, you know, everything is being compromised. And also you look at outer And they're telling this to the National Prosecuting Agency. No more excuses. Prosecute those implicated in state capture. Well, if you're going to prosecute them, and perhaps CR could be someone that could find the long arm of the law waiting for him too, Ahmad.
Well, let me tell you thus far what is disappointing for me. You know, there has been really no arrest in far as the report, and the fact that the report was released in stages should not prevent the president from taking action or waiting for the final report to be able to deal with that, because even though they're given in stages, it deals with specific issues of where people are implicated, and more importantly, people connected to the ANC. And, you know, his excuse, of course, is he's waiting for the final report and then he will look into it and whatever it is. But that's the first thing. I hope that they are not trying to delay this thing for the conference that is coming up, because if you take the issue of ESCOM, and this is why I say I'm disappointed that when the Raison de Commission's report, which you have all, well, many people have privy to right now, you know, it talks extensively about ESCOM and the Guptas and everybody else. Now, how do you separate that with the president of the country, who was the deputy president responsible for CADA deployment at that moment, which is what he did? He's admitted that in the Zondo Commission, that he knew at times, and sometimes he didn't know, but he had to keep quiet because otherwise he loses his job. So then should he not take responsibility because you took it out of office? Secondly, and very importantly, the war room that was created was manned by the deputy president. And as a result of that, there were companies linked to him that benefited from it. And so the question I'm asking is, how objective is this report of the Zondo Commission if it selectively, you know, attacks certain people and not deals with everybody? Now, he says the ANC and the ANC government must take responsibility. That's fine. But what about the specifics? Because you can be specific about certain individuals and not the others. We want to hear about anybody and everybody that might have been involved in one way or the other in terms of state capture in the country, if you want to deal with it.
Good point there. And, you know, many talk about the ineptness of, you know, showing through the cracks of the ANC economic policy. I want to know what type of economic policy they had. And, you know, perhaps so much of a focus on Gupta, everything, blame it on Gupta, Gupta, Gupta. I mean, this country is run by whom? Not the Guptas. It's still run by Anglo-American. Ahmad, your thoughts?
Well, he does not emphasize, and you're correct in your observation, Brother Shepherd, he does not emphasize on the so-called evergreen contracts that we have, which is a 30 and 40-year contracts, which with ESCOM, you understand the price that they have negotiated pre-1994, which continues today, benefiting the big major companies. Not talking about those things. Now, that, for me, questions the credibility of the Zondo Commission report. Either we hear everything or nothing. There's no point in you being selective in it if you want to deal with the problem. So if anybody has benefited unduly or had anything to do or continue to benefit today, they must all be brought to book. But it's not happening, Brother Shepherd, and that's my concern. Whether we're going to get to the bottom of everyone that were implicated in one way or the other, or is this just going to be more linked to the conference that's coming up with the ANC? I don't know. There is no doubt that, yes, some of them implicated right now have been involved, some directly, some indirectly. I agree with that. But there is more to it than that. Remember, the ANC as an organization benefited from this. Now, let me say this. If you're saying that Zuma is implicated, which is what it says, right? Now, if Zuma took 10 rand of that money that he got, and you know the difference, Brother Shepherd. You can have 99 rand of halal money, and if you mix it up with 1 rand, the whole thing becomes contaminated. You agree with me then? Is that not the same thing here then? Then if the ANC benefited in any way from this unlawful means, that they, the ANC, should also pay the ultimate price for it. Or are they going to get away and you're going to go for a few individuals? That's what my argument. So were you not sustaining yourself through these corrupt means, should you not be then disqualified from participating in the electoral system of this country based on the fact that, I mean, where's the forfeiture unit? It must come in now and take the ANC on. What is it? Because you have been sustaining yourself with unlawful means, which you've admitted anyway in the Zondo Commission. So that's my argument, that you cannot be selective when it comes to this. We want to know it all if we want to deal with the problem.
Yeah, and then you look at the two faces of a South African-born billionaire, Elon Musk, and, you know, he has scorned organized labor, mocked political correctness, and espoused small governments. So the deluge of tweets from conservative congratulating Elon Musk on his move to buy Twitter was hardly a surprise. And, you know, a big supporter of Donald Trump, of right-wingers and so forth, this man, he couldn't even give his country that's in disaster where he was born, donation for the floods. Ahmad, what's your thoughts on this Elon Musk?
Yeah, this is one of those that is part and parcel of global capture. These are people that have an agenda. These are the people who believe in white superiority. These are people they are to undermine anybody else that they cannot have power and control over. And countries worldwide are allowing these people to have that muscle, that power, that control. They're allowing them. And we said this time and time again, people wake up and smell the coffee and deal with this, with the control or the monopoly that a few people enjoy in the entire globe. You will continue to have these things. I'm not surprised, because remember, this thing of this new world order, this thing of, you know, if you read the history books, you will find that there is information there of how they regard anybody that's not white as inferior, and how they believe you need to depopulate to get rid of the masses. Because you remember that where there's masses, it's very difficult for you to infiltrate. So the only way to do these things is to reduce this population. And that is why we must also never rule out these unnatural disasters like we have, like viruses and a whole lot of things. We cannot rule these things out, because these people have an agenda and they are very well organized. And so we must be mindful of these things if we want to protect the generations to come. We have the opportunity right now to rise and to stand up. And you can see what happens in many countries if you don't toe the line. You saw what happened to Imran Khan recently, okay? In a short space of time, these people were able to overturn it. And you can see already the support the new prime minister is getting. So it's the trap that you fall into, in where these few people, and I won't say, one thing is clear, that they have an agenda, and the agenda is to control the globe through this close-knit organization. They are linked actually to the Zionists, who have no respect for anybody else or rule of law anywhere in the world. So they can go there, they can go and cause chaos there, they can cause mayhem, they will divide and rule you, they'll cause disease, they'll cause civil unrest, they'll cause wars, they'll do all kinds of things. And more importantly, Brother Shiva, they control the media. They control social media in any event. They control your financial institutions. They control it. Even though you have all the mineral resources, they control it. You have all the oil, they control it. You know, so you have all the beautiful agricultural land to produce maize and wheat, they control it. So we've allowed ourselves to fall into this.
Well, Ahmad, I'm going to let you go, because you're in Freyheit. It must be icy cold there. You have a blessed day ahead, and we'll talk to you soon, Ahmad.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.